Those of you who've ever been in the receiving end, you've had a difficult time, financial time, and somebody comes to you and he sows money to you. That first reaction, many times if you're a little religious like I was, and still is sometime, you feel like, wow, man, why are you giving money? You're thinking that I can't earn money. You're thinking that I'm stupid. I don't have a job. Why are you giving it to me? But that's a religious thing that we need to break, and especially tonight, so that we can be open to receive from God, but not only receive, because if you can receive, you can also give. And then I told God, hey God, I don't like these prosperity preachers, these people in these white suits running around, flying in their own jets and stuff. God, I'm never going to talk about money in church. I'm never going to talk about that. And then God challenged me. He said, Amo, if you have children, you have a little daughter, Eva, she's still very young. Would you talk to her about money? And I said, yes, I will talk to her about money. And then God asked me, why would you talk to her about money? And I said, God, because I love her and I want her to be successful in life. And he said, okay, so why are you not talking to the church about money? Don't you love them? Don't you want them to be successful? So I set it as a goal for me. Once a year, I'm going to talk about money as straightforward and as straight shooting as possible. And tonight's that a night. Already started this morning, so some of you are going to hear it for the second time. So two things that I'm going to teach my children about money. The first one is if you work hard and you work clever, you will earn money. That's just how it works. When I was 11 or 12 years old, I started delivering newspapers. And I got 32 cents a newspaper. But I was a rich man. If you're 12 year old and you earn a salary, 150 rand a month, that was back in 1995, that was a lot of money. That is a lot of money. I was a rich man when I was young. Then I started doing life saving, still earning money. And when I was at varsity, I did the security job thing. That also earned me a lot of money for sleeping and checking on fish and stuff. That's what I did. But that's the one thing that I will tell my children. I would say, Eva, you know what? You want money? You want to buy this thing, this precious thing, this necklace or whatever? You know what? You can work for it. And if you work hard and you work smart, then you will be able to earn the money and you can buy this thing. Because I believe, especially if you're young, you need to start understanding that you need to work for money. Like my dad used to say, die geld groei nie in die boom nie, wat achter in my achterplaas geplant is. Money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work for it. So that's the one thing. But the second thing that I want to teach her, and the one thing that I want to focus on tonight, is I want to teach her that the end goal of money is not buying stuff, but it's giving. The end goal of money is to give. We live in a world, the consumerist world, where if you can buy stuff, now it's Black Friday. Oh man, there's so many specials. You can buy stuff and you can earn more and you can feel good about yourself. In the kingdom, it works differently. So now, just in terms of your spiritual growth and your relationship with God, how does that start? It starts with you being hungry for something. You know that there's a void in your life and you need to fill it. So you're searching for something to fill that void. Some of you have gone on to unto relationships. Some of you have performed well at school. Some of you have performed well at university or had success in your business. You've earned a lot of money. You bought this car, but still this thing didn't fill you. It didn't fill that void. My mother-in-law would call it the Liewe Jesus gaatjie. The only thing that could fill the Liewe Jesus gaatjie is Jesus himself. So now suddenly you come into a church like Shofar and you raise your hand. Somebody calls you forward and you say the sinner's prayer, and there you get filled with the most glorious presence ever, the love of God. And suddenly you're filled, you're satisfied in your deepest part of your being. And then you enter into the kingdom of God. It means to be born again. It means you go into a different world. And that different world, the economics in that different world is generosity. It means that now that you've received everything, it works on the principle of giving and receiving, not only waiting to get stuff. So I'm going to tell Ivo and Nicholas and little Amo, hey dudes, money keys, this is how it works. If you want to be blessed in your financial life, you're going to earn a lot of money. Money is not a bad thing. But you know, the end goal of money is to give it away. Be amazing. You know that we can eradicate poverty in this world like that right now if we apply this principle, if everybody applies this principle like this. But now we can wait for the Bill Gates and we can wait for the Google guys and we can wait for the people with a lot of money. But that's not our calling. Our calling is to steward what we have well so that we can make the difference that we want to see. So let's look at a couple of scripture. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Have you heard of that? Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So, very important to note. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, the love of money. And then the second part of that verse is, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So they've made money their own, the end goal. And what happened? They went out of the kingdom of God and they started living in this consumerist world where all they desire is to have more. But God's challenging us and he's saying, hey, if you want to be blessed, give. Proverbs 13 verse 22. So this is on the other side. It says, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. I love this scripture. It's this idea that you're going to sit back and relax somewhere on Vic Bay, and there's some guy working his ollie off, his butt off, for money, and he doesn't know Jesus, and God's just going to deposit that into your account. Okay, not exactly like that, but the idea is that if you enter into the relationship with God and you follow the principles of the kingdom in terms of your finances, that you have access to lots more in the spiritual realm, and that will manifest in the physical, in the natural realm. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 8. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, say this with me, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You don't have to follow me. I'm reading quick. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So this is a loaded scripture. And the context is, Paul, he's doing this great work amongst the Gentiles, the nations of the world. He's going out and he's preaching, but he needs food and he needs money for transport. He's like, okay, guys, so I have come to you. I've gotten a lot of people, you've experienced the Lord through my ministry. I want you to give and remember. So he's teaching his people, hey, remember, if you're gonna sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But hey, the cool thing is, if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And he talks about finances. And then he says, but it's not only doing it out of compulsion because I tell you to do it, but I want you to get your hearts aligned with God's heart so that you can give cheerfully. So you'll be like, I've got money to give away. I have something to give away. And if you can, like little Eva, I told you last time, we went to Life Community last week, And she said, Papa, I got 20 rand. I have 20 rand. I want to give it to somebody. It was only 20 cents. But she had something and she wanted to give it away. Because she already is starting to experience this kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. She knows that it feels really good to give stuff away. And then the last one, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, listen to this, you may abound. Now, abound means you'll have more than enough in every good work. So, when I was younger, I grew up with this, okay, you're only allowed to ask what you need, not what you want. Even if you pray for stuff, you're not allowed to ask what you want. You're only allowed to ask what you need. And there's some value to that, but it can become a religious struggling, stumbling block. That's the word. But what it says here, so Paul's saying, if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And if you do that continuously, you're going to have more than enough to do everything that you want to do in terms of doing good work. Here's a quote from Bill Johnson. He says, "The one of the most selfish things that you can do is not to want more. One of the most selfish things that you can do is not to want more." And then he qualifies it. He says, you like, they, Mavis and Gerard here at the back, they had Life Community. So we were there last week and I was talking to Philip. And Philip said that property, that they have the whole thing on there and they're doing amazing work and people are getting, little kids are getting saved and they're getting fed. And it's an amazing property. It cost, I think it's 4.5 million. And the moment he said it, I'm like, I need 4.5 million. I want to just give it to them now. I just want to sow it into their ministry because they're doing such amazing work. Imagine somebody else buys that piece of land. It's going to be a waste. That is a kingdom work right there. So you understand, if you don't want more, you're not going to give, you won't be able to give more. So it's not like I want more for myself and I want more possessions. No, it's that desiring you to fulfill the Great Commission, to see that people get reached. If somebody, if a friend comes to you and he says, you know what, I have, somebody has given me this opportunity to go on a mission trip in Thailand. What's Thomas? I said, it's Thomas, you know. As I bet that. So, on this mission trip, you know what? I only have 5 grand. I need 20 grand. And he just, can you pray with me? And you're like, wow, man, I don't want to pray with you. I'm going to give it to you. I want to give it to you. Because that's where God wants to take the church. Like we, many times, people come in here and they have financial problems and we're like, hey, great, I will pray with you. No, God wants the church to be in a place where we can send this person on a business seminar on how to start a business, entrepreneurship thing, and they will walk out of there and they will be able to start their multi-million dollar business from there and just fund the Great Commission. That's where God wants to take us. Not like, oh man, I have 5 rand, you can take it, it's a seed. That is great, it's a great gesture. But you can see what I'm getting to at. Is that if we apply this principle of generosity continuously, God's going to sow back into our lives so we can even sow more. So how do you get God's blessing on your finances? Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. I love the scripture. So if you are blessed, that blessing will make you rich. And if you're sitting here with you as a cell phone, Hey, you're rich. No, you're not poor. You're rich. Top 20% in the world. You're rich. Okay? So a blessing of the Lord has given that to you. You can't make riches without the blessing of the Lord. And he adds no sorrow with it. So if you do this in a kingdom way, you pursue God and you make money, there will be no added sorrow. You know, one of the biggest causes of divorce is money. Why? Because people have walked away from kingdom principles and added sorrow came with it. So if you're going to follow after money without applying godly principles, there will be added sorrow. Richard Branson, who of you know who this guy is? Been to Virgin Active, but that he is the CEO, founder of the Virgin Company. He says, if you get into business solely to make money, you won't. If you try to make a real difference, you'll find success. So he got this principle right, although he's not a believer. Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10. So we're talking about, we want to bring our finances into the kingdom of God. We want to apply kingdom thinking when we talk about giving and finances. Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So this scripture is actually saying what I said in the beginning. It said, if you understand that the end goal, your priority number one in terms of financial stewardship, the way that you govern your money, is to give to God, then I will bring the increase, says God. So if you take whatever you've received, that first fruit, you've received something, and you give it to God, God says he will bless the rest. So there's a guy in our church, he's got a revelation on this, and he has faith. So what he does every year is he sows his first salary check every year. And that last year, this in January, his wife stopped working. He didn't have a second salary. And he asked God, God, should I still carry on doing this? And God said, yes. So he just felt that he needs to do it. And he put his faith out because he doesn't sow half of it. He sows everything, not a tithe, everything. And he sows it. And 2 weeks down the line, he gets four times more back deposited into his account. Now, I went to him and said, hey, dude, you need to lay hands on me because I want to know. But he will also tell you that he has done that for a couple of years and sometimes that doesn't happen. But because he has faith and because he knows that blessing is not only coming back in financial prosperity but in so many other ways, he's still going to keep on doing that. Malachi 3 verse 8 to 12. Let's go quickly read that. Who of you are doing, going to work over the holiday? So, you're a student or, and those of you already working over the holiday. Okay, this scripture is famous for as a tithe scripture. You can go there. Malachi 3 verse 8, last book in the Old Testament. It says this, will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? So this is it's a harsh scripture, but just see in the context of Jesus, there's a principle that we can apply that will actually bring a blessing. How are we robbing you? You're asking. In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, so what God is saying, he says, one of the ways to bring your finances under the blessing of the Lord is to bring your tithe into the storehouse. Okay, so again, I want to make it clear. I'm not forcing you to bring money to the local church, but I'm teaching you this because I know that it brings a blessing. When I asked my grandfather, he was on his deathbed, and I asked him, "Hey, grandfather, give me a principle on how to do my finances." And he said, "Almo, if you tithe, that's your best principle right there. If you can do that, you'll be successful. You'll have abundance. So the scripture says, if we bring our tithe into the storehouse, in our context, it is the local church, the place where you get served, where you are taught the word. If you bring that tithe into the local storehouse, there's a blessing that comes with it. God says, test me in this, that I will open the heavens and I will bring down the blessing of the Lord. Now that's amazing. It's amazing scripture. And if I want that blessing for Eva. I think if you read only the blessing part and you're like, wow, I want to be a faithful steward in raising up my children, I'm going to teach her that because I want the heavens to open and blessings to fall from heaven on my daughter. So I'm going to teach her this. And therefore, I'm going to teach you this because I know that if you apply this, it works because I'm doing it in my life. We, as a family, we are doing it in our life. So God says, the more we sow, the more we will reap. So if we sow in terms of, and doing it in principles of the kingdom principles, we will reap with a blessing. And that is amazing. To think that it's not putting money into some savings account and getting 4.5% every year. No, it's blessing from the Lord. So listen to what Rick Joyner says. He says, I've not yet met a single Christian who is faithful to tithe and has chronic financial problems. The tithe is the rent payment for living on his planet. Rick Joyner. Bill Johnson says this, this is not a vision for the blessing of the church, but for the blessing of the city, nation, and world. And then Jesus. Let's get a quote from Jesus. He says this, Luke 11:42. Talking to the Pharisees, woe to you Pharisees, you pay tithes of mint and rue and every herb, but you disregard justice and the love of God. You should not have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So, Jesus is saying the tithe is not the most important thing that you should do. And it is not. I'm not preaching that. The most important thing that you should do is to love God and to love people. And if you do that, you're doing really well. But if you want financial blessing in your life, then you need to apply the kingdom principles of financial blessing. And that includes the tithe. So he tells them, hey, you should do these, love God, love people, and you should do the tithing. So let's stand. Okay, let's sit again. I just want to emphasize one thing. Hey, it's a great game. If you have the mic, you can do this. Okay, so I wanted to make it very practical for you, because some of you have already started tithing, and in this house, in this church, we have amazing people that tithe even beyond their tithe. They give offering. If you look on your chair, some of you would have these generosity pledges that we spoke about last week, where you can make an offering into Vusi's church, into JH's ministry there at the school, and a couple of other stuff. Please take that home with you, pray about it, and see if God doesn't want to use your 50 rand a month or whatever in that area. So we want to make it very practical, okay? There are three things that's really important in your budget. Who of you have a budget, by the way? All of you should have a budget. All of you should have a budget. You need a budget, okay? If you don't have a budget, you can't steward your finances. I guess there are three things in your budget that's really important. What is the most important thing? What's the most important thing? Cell phones and cars. What did you say, Mark? No, you're not any it's giving. The most important thing, the thing that you need to prioritize is giving. So you want to steward your finances well so that you can give well. That is biblical. Okay, so the most important one is giving. The second most important one is making debt. No, not making debt. Saving. Saving, because saving is a form of giving. If you save to build a house, and then you can host more people at your house. Have you thought of that? So Luke and them, they are building a house, and the first thing that Luke told me, Amo, we're going to host everybody there. So in the next year, after Sunday services, every Sunday, there's going to be milkshakes and muffins. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to clean up. The house is a blessing from the Lord. Okay, so second most important thing is saving. And the last thing you obviously need to live. You need to live. Living includes like, okay, I need new sports shoes. I need a car rent. I need a cell phone. Food, obviously. Food's very important. I guess I want to challenge you to take these three things. Okay, listen. So you start with, you're aiming to get it to 10% giving, because that's a tithe. You're aiming to get to 10% giving. And if you don't have the faith to do it straight away, that's fine. But increase it like 1% or 2% every month. 10% giving, 10% saving, and 80% living. Okay, that's a good start. And then you can increase it as the years go by, where you end up with 25% giving, 25% saving, and 50% living. And then you're going to see how God blesses you, because he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And one of the best examples of somebody who sows bountifully is Luke. You guys don't know how generous this guy is, especially with finances. And he started off with a salary with 1,000 rand salary. And he still, he has an amazing budget and amazing wife that helps him with that, by the way. That helps. And he is living the talk. He has given me more money than I can ever think of giving him. Just because he just walks that. So I'm like, hey, oh man, I don't have my card. Hey, Amo, here's this. He lives that way. He's not all over the place, every guy that stops at him, but he plans his giving and he plans his saving. Therefore, God's rewarding him. So giving, God will bless you. And if you save, that's a form of stewardship. And there with that comes a blessing too. Because you know what? We need 4.5 million for life's property, eh? Mavis? And next year, if you're going to continue doing what you're doing in this evening service, we're going to need to go into a bigger building. And then after that, we need to send missionaries across the world. Because we can't stay in George. We are called to send people into the world. Not for a weekend or a week, but for permanent. Like 6 months at least. 6 years. Okay? Amen. Okay, let's stand. Okay, you can sit again. No, I'm just joking. Okay, I want to just take some time out and thank each one of you. I know a lot of people can't be here tonight because of different reasons, but I want to thank you for just sowing into this ministry. I want to thank you for sowing time, money, effort, for praying with us, for inviting people to the church, for buying books afterwards, for just discipling people. But the most important thing, and something that's so precious to me, is that I can see that all of you love Jesus with everything. And people come to me in town and tell me, Amo, how do you get this right? And I'm telling you, I don't know. But these people just love Jesus. They just love Jesus. So I want to thank you for doing that. I just love doing what I'm doing and seeing people grow in love for people and love for God, and it's really happening. So let's give a hand to God because He is doing this. Okay, let's close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you, two groups of people, you're here tonight and you're struggling financially. Your family is struggling, you are struggling, you need breakthrough. And I sense there's somebody, you need breakthrough, you need lots of money, and you feel it's even, you're unworthy to ask that of God, but you need that breakthrough in order for you to go into the next phase of your ministry or your thing that God has called you to. If that is you, you need breakthrough, financial breakthrough, I want you to raise your hand very high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then the second group of people, you have a heart for business. Yeah, there's something in you, you want to make money. But you want to make money so that you can sow it. There's an entrepreneurial spirit that God wants to release in your life so that you will be even more fruitful than you are in this very moment. So who of you, just while I'm talking, you're just sensing that is you. Don't be shy. Thank you, Jesus.